Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
WNYC's Bob Henley joins us now. He had an exclusive interview with Barack Obama yesterday after that economy speech at Cooper Union. Parts of the interview were played on All Things Considered yesterday and Morning Edition today. There's an extended version on our website at WNYC.org. And Bob joins us now to replay some clips and discuss some of the issues that he asked Senator Obama about. Hiya, Bob.
Good morning.
So we'll replay the answer that Senator Obama gave when you asked him about a possible criminal activity investigation by the Manhattan DA into Bear Stearns, that it wasn't just that they had financial problems, that there may have been something criminal here. Set this
right
up for us. What
sure
was your question?
Actually, what it is that DA Morgenthau, who is, of course, the dean of the prosecutors in the five boroughs, been around a long time, brought a lot of successful financial corruption cases, was actually arguing to not have his budget cut, some 8%. And then in the process of it, I was, I guess, one of the only reporter recording it at the time. He said, you know, we really shouldn't be doing this right now, because my assessment of what happened with Bear Stearns actually started back last summer when two hedge funds that Bear Stearns operated in the Cayman Islands went bankrupt. And then I went and did additional research and found out that the Eastern District had actually opened up a criminal investigation. And then Morgenthau went on and talked generally about the 21st century and the climate that's going on with the economic crisis, and said that there is, and this stunned me, $1.9 trillion on deposit in U.S. dollars in the Cayman Islands, and by scale, only $400 billion on deposit in New York banks. His point being that the combination of hedge funds and offshore banking had created a real oversight problem. So now we have these investment banks that are being bailed out by the Federal Reserve, talk about looting, where daily now tens of billions of dollars are being lent to these institutions like Bear Stearns that aren't conventional banks or credit unions like we use that had a regulatory structure that came out of the Depression where there's accountability and transparency. These are different creatures. These are the high rollers, and these are like investment banks. They wheel and deal stocks. They are getting helped out, but there's not the transparency. And so the question becomes, we really don't have a clue what's going on, because the ability to move capital so quickly and effectively with just the click of a mouse.
So this is what you wanted to
right
hear Senator Obama react to.
Exactly.
Well, that's why I think it's so important, and I mentioned this specifically in the speech, that whatever new regulatory structures we come up with to deal with these new financial instruments, that they're in coordination with other countries. And it is important that we get some kind of global system in place that assures that capital is not just fleeing from one country to the other to avoid oversight, avoid regulation.
So, Bob, was that answer revealing in any way?
Well, what it did is it kind of set the stage for understanding, for instance, why behind the scenes Mayor Bloomberg, as you know, came and introduced at Barack Obama's request. He introduced, Bloomberg did, Obama at the Cooper Union. Obama supplied Bloomberg with an advanced copy of his speech, which was about creating market transparency and accountability, something that Mayor Bloomberg has championed. And there's some points that Barack Obama was making yesterday that Bloomberg's been making for a long time. Even went to China on the way to dealing with global warming in that major initiative over in Bali. You know, Obama was saying yesterday, we have to look to the bipartisan Democrat and Republican corruption, if you will. He didn't use the word corruption, but the process where vested interests weighed in. We know the drill. Millions of dollars was paid out to both Democrats and Republicans, and they got rid of the regulatory framework. I mean, folks have to wake up. They just got rid of it. They changed it. They shifted it. And you can just start wherever you want. You want to do telecommunications. You want to do finance. And in the process, and this started back during the Clinton administration, it's important to understand that Enron and these other things like WorldCom, we had a prosperous economy, but there were a lot of things that were done, like the merger of Exxon and Mobil, for instance, the thing that Teddy Roosevelt took apart. Well, the Clinton administration helped put it back together. Mm. So there's a lot of this kind of concentration of wealth issue and deregulation has happened on both Republican and Democratic watch. That's the kind of thing in terms of, you know, that's the kind of analysis that the independent Michael Bloomberg has made historically.
Now, you said an intriguing thing to me there about Bloomberg getting an advance copy of the speech and then the speech coming out with things that Bloomberg is known to champion. Did you hear direct echoes of Michael Bloomberg in the Obama speech?
Well, in the attack on both parties, and of course the mayor gave a very, which I think the mayor's speech got a little short shrift actually, that introduced Obama because he really castigated the federal government for what they've done. I mean, this circumstance we're in now is really reckless. And when you look at all these different things that have happened over a certain period of time, it's like no one has been minding the story. And this has been Bloomberg's, while, you know, he's a mayor and he's the platform is New York City, he's been, you know, trying to make this point since he's been in.
Now, you also asked Senator Obama about drug policy, whether as president he would approach drugs more as a public health problem than a criminal problem. Should we just play this answer, or do you want to set it up any further?
Well, I do think that we at the station made a big commitment to report on gangs and our colleagues, and we did a great job. There's a lot of great reporting out there. And when you talk to a lot of young people who are in, who have made bad choices, whether it being get caught up in gangs or what, invariably there's someone in their household that they counted on as an authority figure, as a head of household, as a breadwinner, who was incarcerated for drug use. And so I asked Obama, knowing this is now a national phenomenon, if it wasn't time to turn the page and look at it more as a public health issue, at least when it comes to nonviolent drug use.
Well, I'm not sure it's an either or. I think it's a both and. I think there's no doubt that we put all our eggs in the incarceration basket, and that's been a mistake. It just doesn't work as a practical matter, particularly when it comes to first-time nonviolent drug offenders. I think looking at strategies like drug courts that can provide for drug treatment, probation, job training, literacy programs, you know, those kinds of strategies have been proven to reduce recidivism, and that should be ultimately our goal, is keeping people out of trouble in the first place.
So, Bob, did you find his both and answer to be refreshing as Obama new politics, or a dodge? Maybe that's what your smooth word indicates by saying both and. I mean, is that much different from what most politicians would say?
Oh, I mean, that you're exactly right. I mean, he's very measured in everything he says. And of course, that's the political skill. What was the, I guess, a little bit of innovation was the recognition that what we've been doing is not working. You know, we're going to have a war on drugs. Oh, we got more drugs. We're going to have a war on terror. We have more terror. There seems to be this, when all you've got is a hammer, everything looks like a nail, my wife likes to say. That's, I think, at least is an admission there that we need to do something different. I mean, at this point, Brian, in New York City, it's, and the mayor's recognized this, it's $200,000 a year to incarcerate a juvenile offender. I mean, that's, what is that like, an undergraduate education with a little taste of graduate school? I mean, can we afford to keep doing that?
Now, just before you came on, as you heard, we played the clip of Obama endorsing Mayor Bloomberg's congestion pricing plan. Did you ask him about that, or did he volunteer it?
It's interesting. We, in our collegial circle at work, it was suggested, it came up, and you couldn't help it because we were kind of stuck, even it, with the Secret Service detail and, you know, the follow vehicles and the rest, we still were hung up a little bit, so it kind of like broke the ice a little bit to talk about it.
So, last thing, as we try to do here, just going back to that, you know, as I'm thinking about what you just said, isn't it interesting how what you thought was the light chatter to break the ice actually wound up making the most news, judging by the interest of the press corps around the city?
Well, yeah, but there is something, there's something disconnected that's troubling. In all the financial reporting about Bear Stearns and all of it, the fact of this Cayman Island connection, if you will, and offshore banking and the lack of the ability to track what's going on, no one's picking up on that. It's Reverend Wright all the way, and that may or may not be rational, but that's what's happening. And I guess the congestion pricing was a question of timing. It just happened at a time when the city is having a big old town meeting about it, even the old-fashioned institution of robocalls.
Yeah, as you heard before. So, I'm thinking, well, what does it matter that Barack Obama endorses congestion pricing? And it could matter at least in this respect if people think about it. Congressman Anthony Weiner, who is an opponent of congestion pricing, says the $354 million being offered by the federal government is possibly bogus because the Bush administration has been trying to get out of the business of funding mass transit for localities. And so they would probably use that money in place of other funding, not in addition to it, even though they never actually say that. They just do some bookkeeping and do some reductions in other places. But what Obama told you was that if he's elected president, he's committed to not reducing mass transit funding in any ways, right?
That's right. Yeah, and also, I mean, the Washington Post, ironically, I think did a better job than the New York Press about reporting about the other side of Transportation Secretary Peters, in that there is this kind of, you know, federal government thing of, well, let's get out of the business of mass transit. Let's have the local governments do it. And while they have been increasing capital spending, operational spending and support from the federal government has been a problem. And there has been this desire to get out of Amtrak. You name it. I don't know if they think that trains are like communistic because people share a ride. Maybe it's a, you know, Marxist enterprise. But they really have not stepped up to the operational issue of mass transit. And so what Obama did was say, you know, that he understands the need to raise this congestion pricing money locally. This should not be carte blanche for the federal government to step away from its obligations. Now, where he's going to come up with all this money as we head to hell in a handbasket economically, that's another question.
I would say the D train is not your classic example of socialism, although although the G might be.
Right. I mean, I just think the congestion pricing thing, though, I think it's being missed, is that people are feeling stressed right now. When you've got $7 for a half gallon of orange juice, people are just feeling stressed, and so financially. So it was just such a different time when this thing first started happening. So it's a heavy lift for Speaker Quinn as well. I mean, this is her real big test of leadership.
I would assume that Senator Clinton would have that same position about not cutting mass transit funding. I hope to get the chance to ask Senator McCain. So right. Perhaps for the future. Bob, last thing about your interview. As we try to do here on WNYC in general, you asked Obama real policy questions, urban policy questions, which I have not heard asked of him at any other time in any other place, as well as some national and international ones. Did you feel you learned anything new about his policy orientation? New Democrat, very liberal, or some description even outside the liberal conservative spectrum, again, in any way that might tell us something new, or was it just too short for that?
No, I did learn. I mean, we had, you know, there's a collaboration, of course, involved in what we do. One question that I had asked Obama was a critical question, because I thought that Senator Clinton had a fair point that as chairman of a subcommittee that had could have oversight over what was going on in Afghanistan, Senator Obama had failed to convene a hearing. And this was when Afghanistan was really sliding and still continues to slide, as we see every day, tragically, in the press. And so I asked him that, and I said, shouldn't you have really, because this was right after the New York Times story with that fabulous story, the expose about the ammunition that's 50 years old, that I guess a couple of 20-something old Americans created this company overnight and became the major suppliers of this ancient ammunition that's dangerous for the Afghanis to use while the U.S. government is selling it to them. How fabulous. Anyway, and Obama's response was interesting. He said, well, no, the full Senate would have to handle something that important. But then he said, and he advanced the story a little bit, saying that the key to getting NATO reengaged in Afghanistan, remember, that's what we've been counting on, is NATO to step up and to reengage and let us step back. He said, once we get out of Iraq and show in good faith that we're really leaving, that will, I guess, in essence, create the political cover for the European leaders politically, where Iraq is very important and very important for us to get out of there. They'll say, okay, listen, the Yanks are getting out, so all right, now we'll step up in Afghanistan. That was an analysis I hadn't heard before.
WNYC's Bob Henley on his exclusive interview with Barack Obama yesterday in Manhattan. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Brian.